We're going to move on to 17, Wally genetics.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. My name is BJ Shaw. I'm a fish biologist out of Sioux Falls, and I'm going to talk about a project that we just wrapped up in eastern South Dakota looking at our walleye genetics. First thing I want to point out is this project involved a couple partner agencies or universities, University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and Michigan State University. But also, a big chunk of this research was funded by the Sioux Empire chapter of Walleyes Unlimited. So I want to give a big shout out to them for their assistance in getting all the field sampling done. The processing accomplished. They funded about half of the work for this project. So on a really basic level, why do we care about genetics here? So imagine that glass on the left with all the different colored balls represents the different walleye populations in the state of South Dakota. If we have some kind of event that comes along that impacts our populations or bottlenecks our populations down, we may end up like the population on the right there with fewer of those red dots available to our population or to our state. So this is called a portfolio effect, where you have multiple different genetic strains or populations that have different characteristics that can weather some kind of event versus if you have just a single genetic population, you might be susceptible to changes. And so when we talk about genetic strains, there's basically that means different subpopulations that have different characteristics. So they might have differences in body size, reproduction. They might inhabit certain types of water bodies better than others. And so a big emphasis has been placed on genetics in Minnesota and Wisconsin. There was a big study done back in 2021 where they looked at a variety of different populations all across the state. So each of these little dots here, these pie charts, represents a different population that was studied in Minnesota or Wisconsin. And the color represents the genetic strain, where that population originated from. So you look way down in southern Wisconsin, those walleye came from the Rock River. And that's a very different genetic strain than if you look way up in northern Minnesota, where that population is about three quarters from the Hudson Bay area. And so each of these populations is going to have very distinct characteristics that are adapted to the area where they're from. And of particular interest to us, and one of the reasons we did this project, is because of what's known as the Lake Sarah strain walleye population in Minnesota. It has a couple different names, Southern Minnesota strain, Lower Mississippi strain. I'm going to call it Lake Sarah strain for this presentation. But it's a western prairie lake in Minnesota that is very similar to South Dakota's lakes in terms of the overall morphology, the way the lake is structured. And that population has great natural reproduction. They've been stocking those fish across southern Minnesota and seeing really positive benefits in their lakes across southern Minnesota. So we wanted to kind of evaluate how our lakes could benefit from something like that, because we do have a lake that we share management with Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Lake Hendricks. It's a border water where they've been stocking these Lake Sarah strain fish since 2017. And looking at this graph here, this is a figure of age zero electrofishing. So basically, recruitment of those fish that get either stocked or natural in that system every year. And if you look back pre 2017, it's really variable. You did have some years where we did have good walleye numbers coming. But if you look post 2017, once they started stocking those Lake Sarah strain, especially in the most recent years, we've had really strong natural recruitment in that system. And in 2021, that's off the chart. That year they caught 430 walleye per hour, which is the highest they've ever recorded on that lake. That is a lot of fish. We've seen the positives of these Lake Sarah strain fish in a water that's managed partially by South Dakota. So we want to know, how could this potentially benefit us, in other systems? But the first step is knowing what our genetics look like. And the last time that we evaluated genetics on walleye in South Dakota was 1988. There have been major advances in genetic technology since then, and we really only looked at two populations, Blue Dog Lake and the Missouri River, Lake Oahe particularly. So we wanted to know if we were using new modern techniques, can we identify information about the genetics of our walleye population? So we had three study objectives, and I'm just going to tell you, we're not going to talk about the first one here because it's complex, but also really didn't tell us that much. Basically, our populations aren't inbred and they're in good health is kind of the overall takeaway from that. So we're going to focus on two of the other components. We want to know how similar are populations of walleye within the state of South Dakota to each other? And then also, how do our genetics compare to neighboring state populations, particularly that Lake Sarah strain and then some walleye from Iowa out of the Mississippi River? So here's a map of our study systems. We had 12 total waters that we looked at. We had 11 lakes in eastern South Dakota and Lake Oahe. These lakes either have a history of natural recruitment, or for many of them, we actually use them as sources for our broodstock collection and our walleye take when we're doing walleye spawning every spring. So we identified places where, you know, those fish might be persisting from year to year on their own naturally, or that we're distributing those genetics across the state to see, you know, if we are taking fish, for example, from Lynn and Middle Lynn every year to do walleye spawning, those genetics are getting sent around the state. How do those differ than say, fish from West 81, where we might be spawning and taking genetic information from there? Now, I'm not a geneticist, so this is a very, very brief overview, but working with Wisconsin's Vince Point and Michigan State University, we used a new technique that's in development called next generation sequencing. The thing that I really want to point out is that they take tens of thousands, or technically 16,000 snippets of DNA that are about 100 of those A's, T's, and G's long. And then they are looking at those 16,000 segments of DNA, looking for areas where there are differences. So, you know, these fish have generally similar genetic material or genetic code in these lines, but there's one point where there's differences, and that's how you can identify genetic strain differences if you can find a series of those across 16,000 different snippets of genetic code. And so what we did is we used that technique to identify if we have any genetic differences across our populations. And so the first objective here, how different are our populations from each other? There's going to be a lot of numbers on this graphic, but the colors are what really matter, at least early on here. So similar lakes are going to have more of a blue color. If our lakes are really different genetically, they're going to have more of a red color. So we do this lake by lake. We can look at Pious Lake versus Twin Lake. We can look at Twin Lake versus Brush Lake. But if you look across all of our populations, they're incredibly similar. Essentially, we only have one real standout water where we see maybe a little bit of differences in genetic code, and that is in West 81 lakes. There is a potentially slightly different signature in Indian Springs and Antelope, but functionally across all of South Dakota's waters that we evaluated, our genetics were very similar. Another way to visualize that then is to break it up into what are called genetic lineages. So basically, if there are differences, we can color code them and see, you know, what those differences look like. So each of these individual vertical bars represents a single fish where we have sample from. And so across all of our lakes, you can see there's basically only two lineages. There's the West 81 lineage in the orange color, and then there's the other South Dakota lakes lineages in green. And we see some of that spillover from West 81 kind of going across the state. And again, that's because we use that as a stocking source. So we will collect eggs from West 81, and occasionally those offspring get stocked across the state into other areas. But reasonably, or across the board, we really don't see much for genetic differentiation in our populations. So then looking at the neighboring state population. So we have Minnesota and Iowa that we're really focused on. Thankfully, the lab had this huge database of genetic code that we could get our hands on as part of this project. And so there's a whole series of different sources from Minnesota that I'm going to show you here. And you can actually see some of those red colors showing up, you know, doesn't really matter which one is which. We're going to kind of skip past a lot of this, but we do have some differences from Minnesota. On the bottom there is that Lake Sarah strain now. And so what you can see is it's a shade of gray, and it's slightly red when you compare it to West 81. And so essentially, now this is where that number comes in. That's an index value for genetic information. If populations have a value of greater than 0.02, you can say they're different genetic strains. And so you can see here, when we compare Lake Sarah to each of our individual lakes, it exceeds that 0.02 number. And so we can consider our populations to have different genetic code or a different genetic strain than Lake Sarah. And then when we add in the Iowa fish, you can see we hover right around that 0.02 number again. So these fish were collected out of the Mississippi River in southern Iowa. Iowa has actually seen really good success with stocking these river fish into their lakes where they're struggling to get natural recruitment or to have their stockings succeed. And so that's one of the reasons why we reached out to Iowa about getting their genetics as well, because these fish seem to do better in their systems than some of their in-lake walleye. And then we can compare all the way on the very far right there, Iowa and Lake Sarah. Those fish are very different from each other. So we know we've got three unique genetic strains. We have a South Dakota strain, we have an Iowa strain, and a Minnesota strain. They're all very different from each other. So the really basic high-level summary, all of our lakes that we evaluated, except for West 81 and to a certain extent Indian Springs and Antelope, have very similar genetics, and they were different from Minnesota and Iowa. So then the next step is what do we do about this? So we're starting a new research project. It started this summer, this spring, excuse me. We're going to do some comparison stockings where we stock an individual lake with half the number of fish that get stocked for the year are going to be walleye from South Dakota. The other half will be either from Iowa or Minnesota. And what we're going to do then is we're going to go back into those lakes later and evaluate which of those fish are doing better. If one strain is doing better than the other, we should be able to identify that by looking at growth rates, looking at catch rates, and then evaluating the genetic material of the H0s that we catch later in the fall to see which ones are outperforming the others. So this spring, we stocked fish into those lakes in the left there, Clear Lake in Dual County, Henry, Bullhead in Dual County, and then North Island. And so that's Henry Lake County, by the way. We basically got this project underway. It's a great partnership with Minnesota and Iowa. We were able to get about 250,000 walleye fry from both states that we could then divide up between these lakes. And we're going to continue stocking through 2029 and working with these states to get their fish, and then we're going to evaluate these over time. And so, we have a plan moving forward, at least to evaluate it and see if introducing some of these other genetics into our state can help us develop a bigger portfolio and can help us improve things like natural recruitment in our systems. Again, I'd like to acknowledge Walleyes Unlimited again for their assistance with funding this project. And then thank all the staff that helped with this across the state. And I'll take any questions.
Fascinating. Any questions? Commissioner
Teal. Oh, I was just curious. So when we get those fish from Iowa and Minnesota, are we giving them fish in return? Are they doing anything similar to this on their end?
So that's a great question. Within Minnesota, they're doing a lot of evaluations of their genetics, particularly with this Lake Sarah strain. In Iowa, they're doing a lot with those Mississippi River fish. So they have their own independent questions. We aren't sending them any walleye fry to do their own experimentation with. But I will say that, not speaking for Mike Barnes, but I do know we have really great partnerships with neighboring states, and we share fish back and forth regularly. And so this is kind of one of those things where we've built relationships, and it can help us answer some other questions beyond just generally sharing fish. Thank you. Yeah.
Additional questions?
Commissioner Whitmer. So I'm from the Northeast, so I'm identifying a number of those pious as lakes that were pheasant at 1992. Okay. So I'm kind of just trying to gauge that genetics, how that could be anything different than what's coming out of hatcheries today. But I'm also looking at like a Kempeska, you know, which probably those genetics would have been diluted from stockings that would have happened since 1900. But possibilities of any remaining, you know, in a lake such as that, I don't know if anything up in the Clear Lake that's up in Marshall County, if any of those lakes might be, which is the best fishing ever, I understand, for Chris. No, there's never any fish there. Sorry. Anyway, you know, some of those that might be, you know, because that would have had a history of being connected to the James River, you know, for example.
Yeah.
Anyway, just too many questions for this meeting, but, you know, I guess mostly related to when we had a presentation on sturgeon and, you know, too, curious if the sturgeon that ultimately, you know, are connected to the Hudson Bay and Red River system versus the Wahi, which is, you know, to the Gulf. If that's do you know anything on that too? If that's a different genetic,
I can't speak to the sturgeon. I'm not familiar with that. But for your other question about you know, kind of the history of walleye stockings and then the impacts that long term for longevity of certain lakes might have. We do have a really extensive history of winter kills in eastern South Dakota. And so a lot of those lakes where we may have some natural recruitment, especially during those periods in the 80s when we had low water levels, a lot of those lakes had histories of winter kills where we restocked them with fish from a source. And we've used Lake Oahe in particular a lot in the follow-up to that. And then more recently, we've been using eastern South Dakota lakes more often in our walleye spawning operations. And so, you know, our genetics have been really bottlenecked down because of, you know, those winter kills and, you know, the hatchery operations and doing the primary stockings using Lake Oahe as our main source. So it's, you know, those other systems are going to have very limited genetic diversity outside of what we see here, but it is definitely possible where we have some cases like West 81, where we've done stockings in there, and that lake has filled up, you know, over time, but it's still showing some unique genetic signatures. So there may be some other systems like that where there are a couple of you know, unique systems, but they're not. It doesn't appear that they're very common on the landscape based on the sample that we did.
Yeah, fascinating.
Commissioner Nygaard.
BJ, I thought you were going to say when you were making a trade with Minnesota, I thought they'd want some of our pheasants with walleye fingers.
That's outside of my purview.
Yeah, sort of. I just want to thank you for this report. I have a place on Lake Hendricks, and quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of hearing how the DNR of Minnesota brings in Sarah Strain walleye into Lake Hendricks. And now I can tell them that we're engaged and you're engaged. And I appreciate hearing that. The problem with that is that Lake Hendricks isn't a secret anymore. And there's a lot of boats on that lake right now that are catching some really nice walleye. So this is really encouraging, and thank you. It's important for Eastern South Dakota lakes. What a great report. Good job.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner.